if that didn't make you want to preach, there's only one thing that's clear. You ain't called to preach. Glory to God. I told Cynthia earlier, I said, dear, you're like Archie Bunker would say, you ain't normal. How can you play? You know, I have to about pull over to the side of the road to tune my radio and drive. It's dangerous. And I think about somebody playing the piano and singing so magnificently. You just elected to have that gift, aren't you, dear? I was elected not to have that gift. And David, last night, that just blew me away as well. So fascinating to me that people have such gifts like that, because I don't have any of that stuff. And I sat right across from David at dinner, and I sat across from him at lunch as well. I got to know him a little bit, and know that he's a professor and on staff at OU and all that. But just looking at him, you know, he's a nice-looking young man. Just looking at him, I never would dream that that would come out of him. You know, I could tell by looking at him, he had potential, because he's in the process of getting that nasty old hair off the top of his head. But brother, that was fabulous. I just enjoyed it so much. One thing you may not be aware of, and he is particularly, obviously, fantastically gifted. But I sat across from him. That boy must have had catfish to his Adam's apple. He ate and went back some more and went back some more. And with that load of fish, he must have a canyon for his stomach. He still got up and sang. Was a great dinner last night. Tell you for sure. Roger asked me if I got all I wanted. And I said, gracious, no, brother. I got better sense than to eat that much. It was so good. By the way, Pastor, while that's on my mind, I will not be here next Sunday. I'm going to a crappie conference. I heard this brother is serving crappie down in Jacksonville. And I'm going to that conference, whatever that's about. Well, glory to the Lord. I'll tell you, I don't know if this is good for you, but it's good for me to get my old soul massaged, you know, and to be so encouraged and challenged, but also just to be thrilled again and again and again when we contemplate this magnificent thing that we have in our salvation in Christ the Lord. Just you know, you never get over it, do you? Bless God. I mean, I had an incredible conversion experience in Dallas when I was saved. I've just never gotten over the grandeur, the glory, the privilege of grace of being in Christ the Lord, being numbered in that number of the redeemed of the Lamb. That's the subject, redemption, present and eternal, and yet future. Present, eternal, and yet future. How many of you brought your living Bibles? This is it, by the way. And you got, I gave you a handout, and that's out of the living Bible. You'll notice that has the King Jimmy stuff all around it. And that's what I'm talking about. We'll look at this passage in Romans. And then those you have, I did that, but so we wouldn't have to, you'd flip around so much, because I am a slave to the clock here as well. It's 10:36. I'm supposed to finish at 12. Oh, 40 minutes. Okay. For I reckon, Paul writes, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan ourselves within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for callings, appointments, giftings, the joy, Lord, of being together in Jesus. Lord, you deserve more glory than eternity can give you. I pray, Father, that you would wear me like a garment, that there'd not be one molecule of me, so that we can all just look at you and rejoice in thy person and rejoice in our privilege of grace to be in thee and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to focus with you on those eight verses for a little bit, because they speak of redemption. And in those seven verses there, and interestingly enough, four of them, as we mentioned in the title, speak of our present redemption. Redemption is present possession of the believer. And then the last three of that list that you have speak of it as a something yet future for the believer. And of course, the question is this: if it's present possession, if it's an eternal possession, what's future? And I submit to you that my goal in this, while, sorry, Lord, help me to get it together here. My goal in this, while we look at our redemption, and we say, oh, wow, this is about us. I don't want this to be about us. I'm looking forward to that redemption of which we'll speak. But I want us to see him and the glory that it'll bring him in this. So, seven verses, two groups. First four, redemption as a present possession. And then the next three we'll look at in a moment. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14, again, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And then Hebrews 9:12, having not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So again, the first four verses, we have it now. In the next three verses, we have redemption yet coming, even though we stand right now in eternal redemption by the grace of the Father. Well, the yet future aspect of it. Romans 8:23, as we've read, said we're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So we know what we're looking for. We're not looking to be saved again, and we're not looking to get more saved in the process, but we are looking for an aspect that is specifically said in the Word of God to be the redemption of our bodies. The adoption, waiting for that, the redemption of our bodies. Ephesians 1:14, we, speaking of the Holy Spirit, we have him as the earnest of our inheritance until when? The redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. The Scripture tells us we've been bought with a price, we're not our own. We can't do what we want. We're supposed to do what we're called to do and told to do. And we think about that as us, just us, living in this earthly carcass that we're now in. But it's purchased also. And that's the purchased possession there. You see it right there, waiting until our adoption, the redemption of our body, the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. And then in 4:30, we're admonished not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because we are sealed right now until that day, whenever that particular day will come, and it shall come, but the sealing is going to last all the way home. Obviously, present possession, eternal possession, and a future possession as well. And see, that's something that's fabulous, is it not, about us being in Christ Jesus? Because, you got something now. Okay, I understand that, Bratcher. That's a present possession. And you still have it this week. You had it last week. Yes, I'm still having it this week. I got it. But then I talk to you about something that I have never had yet. And I say, that's my possession. And you say, that doesn't work. But it does, when God the Father has it in His hand, and as He speaks in the aorist tense here, and it's work already done, the present possession that we have, redemption, and the eternal possession that we have, redemption, is the future redemption that we shall experience, redemption, we have it all, because it's not going to change, because it's in the hand of the Father. The word redeemed is Latruo, it's a passive verb, means we didn't do anything, but He did for us. Ransomed through the payment of a price. The noun, that's the verb form, the noun form of it means that actually which that release that was effected through the payment of the ransom. And the believer's redemption is present possessed, as we said, 1 Peter, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation. That was not just bad talk. That was their religion, their heritage, the traditions. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So our present possession is this, simply put. It's what was previously purchased. That's it. Redeemed today, are you? You have a present possession that was purchased for you previously by the blood of the Lamb. And as Hebrews 9:12 said, of course, it's an eternal redemption. And the ransom has been paid. And how many times did He go in? Once. One time. And that's it. And it's that forever. You know, I was reading this verse again this morning. You see, having purchased eternal redemption for us. And I think, goodness, does the Catholic Bible have that in it? You know, how do you get your head around these words, eternal redemption? Why do we have to sacrifice the host every time we get together, you know, and continue to pay the sacrifice? That's, if they would just look at this word, it'd stop a lot of hocus pocus. And that formula stuff that's said, and I'm not trying to be unkind to those folks, but good grief, what an injustice and a dishonor to the living God who gave this living eternal Son. He paid the price for our redemption. Romans 3:24, been justified freely, being justified freely. That means going on, doesn't it? Once for all, declared, justified, legal term, forensic term. Again, it's a present tense passive verb, something for us, not of us, not by us, not contingent upon us, that we earned it, deserved it, or possibly could ever measure up to this fact. But we have been justified freely and are continually, forever justified freely by His grace. Through the redemption, only in Christ Jesus is that found. If you're not, it's amazing. Oprah, the spiritual leader of a tremendous group of people in America, said, you know, so forcefully, Jesus couldn't be the only way to heaven. Couldn't be the only way to go. You know, I don't know how you're going to get there, but it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. We are justified in Him. If you are not in Him, you're not justified, and you shall never be justified right before God until you find yourself, by grace, placed into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. James Boyce, Abstract of Systematic Theology, said, justification is the judicial act of God, a unilateral act of God. He didn't have that term. I'm adding it. Judicial act of God, by which, on account of the meritorious work of Christ, imputed to us the sinners, and received by us through that faith which vitally unites us to Him as our substitute and Savior, God has declared us, and I'm paraphrasing his quote, God has declared us, the sinners, to be free from the demands of the law, and not only free, that would be enough glory, but entitled to all of the rewards of the obedience of that substitute. Now, isn't it something to think about this, that we have been justified freely, declared free, but also entitled to all the rewards due to the obedience of that substitute, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know how you would measure grace and what you would use. But how cotton picking big would it have to be? How big a chart? Can you imagine all the rewards due the Lord? We're entitled by grace because we are in Him. Justification, past once for all act, declaring our standing in Christ Jesus the Lord. His righteousness being imputed to us. And that's the way you get that eternal redemption, because we are in Him. And then now, redemption yet future. Ephesians 4:30 says we've been sealed. Speaks of the sealing of the believer, receiving of us. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. And the day of redemption, that's something out there in the future, right? We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit right now. We are being sealed by the Holy Spirit right now. We shall be sealed by the Holy Spirit right always until when? The day of redemption. So that's in our future yet. And specifically then, our passage tells us that that which we are sealed for, we are waiting for by faith, the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. It was interesting to me, reading some of the commentaries and whatever, and just run across this. We've preached election and studied election and went before the foundation here. But to think of this, just gripped me that we can see our adoption through three windows that I'll share here just a moment, in Scripture, just thinking about it. But then my mind just began to think about it beyond the Scripture, the adoption. First of all, our adoption can be seen before time. In the election of the Father, Ephesians chapter 1, 4, and 5, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Why? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of the Father. Before the foundation of the earth, you, believers in Christ, adopted, predestinated to be adopted in time. Of course, coming to faith in Christ because you were adopted before time. But look at this. In John chapter 11, 49 and 50, they're scrambling around trying to figure out what they're going to do with this Galilean carpenter who is messing up their religious system there. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, and said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not." Now, they were concerned that he's going to mess everything up and the Romans are going to come down on a heavier hand than he had before and all of this. Look at what John said of that in verse 51 too. John said, under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit, "This he spoke not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." Ladies and gentlemen, when that prophecy was written right there, spoken and then identified by the Apostle John, you were one of the adopted right then, because you were adopted before the foundation of the earth, and you were numbered in that number right then. Another one, Acts chapter 18. Paul's in Corinth. Some folks have gotten saved. Things are getting off to sort of a good start there. 18, verse 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Who were they? Well, there were some folks that were saved there. But here, I have much people here. Well, who are they, Master? They're the ones that I predestinated to the adoption. They were in Corinth. I was in Dallas, Texas, lost as a goose. But I was adopted before the foundation of the earth, just didn't know it. Isn't that fascinating? Here, everywhere, all along through the years, before the foundation of the earth, adopted. The list written. You know, I used to love to hear that song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, until I found out how not sound it is. And some of you folks that can sing, I love that tune. You know, maybe it's my name written down in glory. Change the words so we can sing that doctrinally, soundly, because the list was made before the foundation of the earth. And my name was on it. And yours. All that raw, crazy running. But my name was on a list. Probably the angels looked at me sometimes and said, Lord, won't you kill him now? His name's on the list. And you know what's encouraging about that? I got some kids that are not born of God yet. And I realize their name might not be on the list, but I'll tell you one thing, brother. If it is, they're going to come home. They'll come because of the list of the Father before the foundation of the earth. I've got much people in this city. After I was bitten by the sovereign grace bug, I was told, well, you know, and I was going around preaching some revival meetings in Southern Baptist churches, and one guy asked me point blank, why you go do that? And what you believe, why go do that? And I said, well, you don't go witnessing and preaching because it feels good or because you think you do some good or whatever. You do it because it's to obey. God said, go. But I said, where you're coming from, brother, I'm excited about going because there's just possibly someone still in that city that will show up that is appointed unto God to come to Christ. And he will, or she will, while I'm there, by the grace of God, maybe. But someday they will come. I wonder how many people in Tyler are on the adoption list, predestined to come to Christ, yet to come. Wouldn't you love to be where they happened to be on a given day and they all just came? Glory. See, this stuff designed by our Father, Brother Royce, is designed to bring Him glory, not pulpiteers. It's Him to bring Him glory. God received the glory for it. We're waiting for the adoption. We've been legally adopted. We've declared justified and forever. If Scripture says in 8:15, we received the Spirit adoption, and it feels real good, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good to be saved? Do you feel saved? You don't feel saved? I feel saved, and it feels real good. Spirit of adoption, because my soul does cry out, Father, God. But we're waiting for the completion of our adoption. Philippians 1:6 speaks of God perfecting us. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. You're going to be worked on. That speaks of our sanctification. But I'll tell you one thing. As soon as that work is done and sanctification is complete in us, it's graduation day, because even if we lived until that day, the work on us on earth is over. And we graduate, and that graduation is redemption of our bodies. What can we know about this future adoption or the completion of adoption? 8:19 of Romans calls it the revealing of the sons of God. 8:21 identifies our adoption as being set free from the slavery to corruption. Ephesians 4:30 identifies the setting, the day of redemption. The Lord calls forth the rapture of the church, the trump of God, the dead in Christ. People, things are going to happen. You know, I people talk about this Big Bang theory. I don't particularly have a big problem with that. You think about it. What would it be like for in a moment, or even 7 days, for the Lord of the universe to command all of the molecules in the universe into his chosen order? Could that happen without a lot of noise? I mean, think about it. When every molecule and every atom obeys the sovereign command of the eternal God, it has to be something. I mean, they just don't shuffle into space, through space quietly, I wouldn't think. So maybe there is something to the Big Bang. But this day of redemption is going to be a big deal, I believe. You know why I think it's going to be a big deal? Because the Lord has never left himself without a witness. Can you imagine being in a cemetery, doing a graveside service, as we've done hundreds of them together, pastors? I mean, and it's then, and the trump of God, and the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ come rolling out of those graves. I tell you what, it'll take grace to just to dodge the tombstones. Because they're going first. But then we which are alive, we're going to be caught up together with him. That's graduation. That's the completion of the adoption. That's when adoption feels like it has never felt before. Whoopee! I mean, adopted. And, you know, I woke up this morning in this mortal body, frailing increasingly. Things aching that never I knew I had before. And still prone to sin and leave the God I love. Frustrating. Paul said, the things I don't want to do, I'm doing them. And the things I want to do, I'm not getting them done. That's how I woke up this morning. Can you imagine what it'd be like to wake up tomorrow morning and that is no more? Glory. From our side of it, the day of redemption, the adoption, the redemption of our body, it's going to be a good thing. Our citizenship in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Christ, who will transform the body of this humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. You think my head shines now, brother? You wait till you see it then. And I don't want hair. My kids wouldn't recognize me. How does he do that? By the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things unto himself. 2 Peter 1:4, we became partakers of the divine nature, which necessitated the work of creation. Scripture tells us we're in Christ, we're a new creation. How? By the hand of the Father. We didn't believe in that, got created anew. We were created, regenerated, and how we were, that's the hand of the Father. But now that we are, we can receive and believe and perceive and understand and become that facilitated man, woman, boy, or girl. Our souls are ready to go. Our bodies are not ready to go. But we're new creatures. But we're still in this robe of flesh. And the day of redemption of our bodies, that completion of the adoption, is out there in our future. Robert Haldane, on his commentary to Romans, commenting as to why this word redemption is used. You know, think about it logically, which is a real dangerous way to approach the scripture sometime. But if you just think about it logically, you think, well, why didn't Paul use redemption? I mean, resurrection instead of redemption. Think about it. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? the resurrection. Well, we know that's a resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4. Dead in Christ, rise first. We know it's a resurrection there. But why did he use the word redemption? Haldane writes, when this term redemption is used, it commonly denotes two things. The one, that the deliverance spoken of is effected in a manner glorious and conspicuous, exhibiting the greatest effort of power. The other, that is a complete deliverance, placing us beyond all danger. Redemption of our bodies. On this ground, then it is evident that no word is better entitled to the appellation of redemption than that of the reestablishment of our bodies, which will be an illustrious effect of the infinite power of God. It is the work of Lord of nature, of Him who holds in His hands the keys of life and death. His light alone can dispel the darkness of the tomb. It is only His hand that can break its seal and its silence. On this account, he writes, the Apostle Paul appeals with an accumulation of terms to the exceeding greatness of the power of God to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead. When He raised Christ from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, that power, get ready. You're going to experience it when He raises you from the grave. And the one word he used there, reestablishment of our bodies. I'm going to qualify that, not to help him, just to make it clear in my own mind. This body is not going to be reestablished that way. Oh, I'm going to look like this. I'm confident. You may consider that a blessing or a curse. I'll leave that with you. But you know what? It's to a pristine effect and condition we've never known. We've never known to live in a body with no wages and ravages of sin. We've never known to have this war going on in our brains and tempted to lust or fight or whatever and walk away and out of the will of God. We've never known that. But in that regeneration we read about, he said, I'm going to put my spirit in you and my law in you, and nobody's going to need to teach you, and you're going to walk in my way. Pastor Dan and I were talking a while back about, you know, the people that hit us, the Arminian camp. Well, you guys, the way you teach it, you're nothing but a bunch of puppets. Ladies and gentlemen, since I've been born of God and learned what He's like, I've never wanted to be anything else. I wish I couldn't bat my eyes but by Him. And never look anyway. And never think anyway but what He wanted. God, control me. Well, it goes. I mean, I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own, but doggone it, I still act like it sometimes. And I want to stop that. And Paul said that. I don't want to behave like I'm my own anymore. Who, he said, will release us? And he answered his own question. Praise be unto God, Christ the Lord. When will we be released? At the day of redemption. Get ready, because dust returns to dust, except on that day, and dust is headed for glory. And that's us, ladies and gentlemen. Bless God. Isn't it good to belong to Jesus? Amen. Thank you.